Hello and welcome to another episode of the How to Scale a Business podcast. My name is Hector Santiesteban and I'm your host today. Our guest is Mr. Tyler Ryan. He's an expert on lifetime value, which is probably one of the most important and maybe overlooked and undervalued metrics in all of business. So thank you, Tyler, for hanging out and spending some time with us today.
Hey, you got it. And I completely agree. LTV doesn't get talked about enough.
I love that this is your thing because so much of the advice seems like a burn and churn kind of mindset. It seems like something that is probably the opposite of what you speak about. And I'm excited to dig in. I'd love to know how this became your thing. So if you can catch us up on some of the steps along the way, and then maybe talk about a little bit about what you focus on specifically with your audience and some of your clients as well.
I'll start by saying that where it's gotten me to today is the realization that LTV is not just a metric, but really it's a way of doing business. And back where I started, I knew nothing about business. And so it took me a long time to get to the point where I knew how to approach business in such a way that could create wins for the customer and also create wins for the business. I come from the engineering world. I'm a former NASA software engineer. I got my start working at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, building spacecraft engineering applications for other engineers. So I started on the other end of the spectrum as far as engineering versus business, right? I always wanted to start my own companies, but I never knew where I was going to start or how I was going to build that business when I did start it. So when I made the leap of going all in on my first software company, I worked on it full-time for 2 years and realized just how little I knew about business in that process. I built a cool thing and then nobody wanted to buy it. And it was through that experience that I hit what was at the time a really low point in my life of being like, maybe I'm just not cut out to actually start a company. Maybe I should just go work at one. That led me to the world of coaching programs, going to live events, masterminds, because I decided, you know what? I'm just going to throw myself into the world of business because it's clear that I need to go learn how business really works if I'm serious about doing this. And that got me into some really great rooms with some really great people. And I started applying my technical skill set, building out websites and sales funnels for these businesses. And then a pattern started to emerge. I would help someone set up a funnel, launch it. Pretty soon they're asking questions about their data. Questions like, can you help me figure out how much I can afford to spend to acquire a customer? Or can you help me figure out how many of my new customers come back and buy my high ticket program after that? Or how long do my customers stick around? And what I realized is what all these questions had in common is they were really asking about customer lifetime value. That was the one common thread across all these data related questions. And it became clear to me that most businesses fundamentally don't understand what LTV is, how to use it, and how to take it and make better decisions as a company. Yet the most fundamental question we have in business is how much can we afford to spend to acquire a customer? And the answer to that question is LTV. So what I realized is that if I could build a solution that would allow businesses to answer that question better than anybody else, then I would have some magic on my hands. And there's a story I can share if you want about where the origin of the company was, but that's a high level overview of what led me to recognizing the importance of LTV in the first place.
And you may have said it, but LTV is lifetime value of your customer. So essentially, how much money do they pay you over the entirety of their time with you? Not just the first time that they buy something or one time, but how much are they paying you over the life of their relationship? So you've been doing this now for a number of years. Do you feel like now there's a certain amount of urgency to what you're talking about? And the way that things are happening in terms of advertising platforms, social media, inflation, there's all these sorts of factors and things going on. Does that create a heightened importance of kind of what you're talking about or not?
It creates a massively heightened importance. And the reason why is because if you want to actually generate profit as a company, and that's becoming harder and harder to do, the answer is to focus more on improving your customer's lifetime value. And the reason why is when we first got into the world of digital advertising, it was enough to look at revenue and ad spend and just compare the two. Am I making more money than I'm spending on ads? Because it was pretty easy to acquire customers profitably. Then it got a little bit harder and there was more competition. And now we see the rise of average order value, right? How do I get people to spend more when they buy from me? So that way I can take my $50 customer value and get it up to $75 or $100. That's going to allow me to spend more to acquire a customer. So it went from revenue versus ad spend to now AOV versus cost to acquire a customer. Now, with increased competition even further and increased cost across the board for getting attention, it's becoming harder and harder to be profitable purely from an AOV standpoint. So the next progression of that is the future, which is everything that happens beyond just AOV. And that's what what LTV encompasses. So now it's a matter of how much can I afford to spend to acquire a customer based on not just how much money my customers spend today, but how much they spend over the course of 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. And the reality is, if you're going to really build a profitable company that scales, the majority of your profits are going to come after the initial sale. As soon as we get into that category, we're having an LTV conversation. And I think that's the way the industry is moving.
One of the things I like to cover at the beginning of these conversations, there's a lot of people who are going, yeah, but I don't need that. We're good. That's not for us, or that doesn't affect us. And I'm curious if there are, like, I don't know if symptoms is the right word, or mistakes or pitfalls, like things that you see that people are doing that are frankly in your head, you're like, how could you be so stupid? If only you did this, or if only you knew what that was doing to your actual business. Are there big mistakes that stand out to you like that?
Absolutely. The number one is just, can you answer this question? Do you know how much you can afford to spend to acquire a customer? Do you know how much you can afford to spend to acquire a customer for every product you sell, for every traffic source you have, for every sales funnel in your business? And are you using that number to inform your ad spend decisions? The fact of the matter is, the vast majority of businesses, in my experience, actually can't answer that question. They look at things from a very global perspective. And this gets into some of the nuance about what LTV really means. LTV is not a single number. It's not my customer lifetime value is $100. That number means nothing. LTV has a value at day zero, the day that a customer makes their first purchase with you. It has a value 30 days later, 60 days later, 90, 180, 365, and every day in between. The way to answer the question, how much can I afford to spend to acquire a customer, is based on your LTV at every day of that journey for every product you advertise, for every funnel you have, and every traffic source you use to acquire customers. If you can't answer that question with confidence, and you know who you are, like, there's the businesses who are just like, yep, it's this. And there's the other ones who are like, it's like around $50. Okay, you don't actually know the answer to that question. Wouldn't it behoove you as a business owner to get super clear on that number? Because as soon as you do, all of your ad spend decisions become very clear. Because now you have a clear target to shoot for that is green, yellow, red. We're doing good. We got to watch out, and we're getting into the danger zone. LTV is the way to answer that question. And so if you don't feel like you're making confident, no doubt decisions about where you should be allocating your budget, how to judge whether a campaign is working or not, whether this funnel is working or that product is working, then you need to understand your customer lifetime value, and you need to understand it at that level of detail for it to really be actionable and drive your decision making.
I'm even seeing that there's value in knowing that, A, for your marketing spend, definitely your advertising spend, but also in terms of your internal processes, if you look at your LTV is not where it is, I'd imagine that the lever for that is not necessarily going and spending more money per se, but actually improving some of your delivery process or your fulfillment process, or figuring out how you can get them to your 60, 90, and still spending money. Is that also some of the value that emerges from knowing some of these numbers?
Absolutely. Remember when I said in the beginning that LTV is really a way of doing business? The reason why I say that is because LTV is the metric that represents the quality of your relationship with your customer. Just think about it. If your LTV starts at $100, but then goes down to 95 and then down to 90 because your refund rate's so high, that's capturing the quality of your relationship with your customer. If your LTV starts at $100, but then goes to 110, 120, 130, 150, or 1,000, 2,000, whatever it is for your business, and you can see that growth over time, that speaks to your ability to build a strong relationship with your customer, to have them be excited to come back and spend more money with you. So if you look at the shape of someone's LTV curve, you can directly tie it back to the quality of their customer experience and the quality of their products. So to your point, one of the first things I look at when I come into a business is the shape of that LTV curve. And if I don't see strong growth, but rather I see maybe flat line or even a dip in their LTV, the first thing we're going to look at is, what is everything that the customer experiences from the time they make that first purchase onwards? What promises are you making? Are you keeping those promises? How are you fulfilling on the promises that you made on the front end? Are you giving them things to buy that are logical and clear and make sense, and not just jamming offers down their throat in the interest of making as much money as you can? All those things get encapsulated in someone's LTV curve. And that's one of the things that most businesses don't have visibility on. They just sweep under the rug. Ah, we're doing fine on our customer acquisition, but they can't see what happens next. So if you can't measure it, can't really improve it or decide if it needs to be improved in the first place. So that's why I'm such a big believer in, you got to have visibility on your LTV at the very least. Otherwise, we're not having an informed conversation about the quality of your relationship with your customer.
Yeah. After the break, I want to get into, like, what are some of the things that someone needs to get in place? Because I'd imagine that there are some people who are like, geez, I don't even know how to know that number. So I want to talk about that. But before that, I'm curious, have you seen any examples of people who they had a flat curve or a downward curve, and then all of a sudden they started making some changes, and maybe a success story or something like that to highlight what's possible when someone starts to understand and get this sort of thing?
Absolutely. It's very common, actually, when you come into a new business to see that the customer journey is something that's been neglected. And there's a very good reason why this happens. When we're starting a business and we're trying to grow it from the beginning, the only thing that matters is customer acquisition. It is the thing that gets 100% of our attention. And because of that, we drive all of our focus into bringing in new customers, making that equation work as much as we can. And what happens is once you get that actually working and you have new customers consistently coming in, oftentimes the back end has just been left up to random chance. I get people on my email list and I send out emails a few times a week. That's the extent of their customer journey. Maybe they have some sort of a autoresponder email sequence welcoming them into their world, and then that's the end of it. So what you find is the customer journey often gets neglected and left to the back burner. When you come into a business and that's the case, you can see some really strong front end numbers. Maybe the business is doing $10 million a year, but if you actually break it down by how much comes from new customer sales and then the returning customer sales and all of the back end activity, it's very common you come into a business and see either very little in revenue on the back end, or maybe you even see losses due to refunds. So I'll give you an example. There's a supplement company I've been working with. They do about $30 million a year, big numbers. But if you look at the way that breaks down, they do about $36 million on the front end from new customers coming in and buying, but their back end actually loses $7 million in refunds. So just think about that. They go from 36 on the front end, they lose seven on the back end, and they only do $1 million in additional sales on the back end. So in other words, they're going from 36 million to 30 million just because of a high refund rate and poor back end sales. A company like that, if they just take seriously what happens after the customer buys, just like they do on the front end, don't even worry about acquiring more customers because you're already doing a good job of that. Shift 80% of your focus to the back end. You can easily turn that back end, which is producing a loss of many millions of dollars, and move the needle on that very quickly. And what this company is seeing is what was a $7 million loss last year because of the high refund rate. They're able to address this very quickly because all you got to do is just put a little bit more care into your customer service team and your follow-up sequences and setting good expectations. Next thing you know, the $7 million becomes two, and they've just generated $5 million in profit out of thin air. No change to their front end marketing, no change to their customer acquisition, just doing a better job of supporting the customers they acquire and sticking that sale. And this company now, I think this year, they're going to be on track to do well beyond 30 million, probably more 50. But the most important thing to me is they're going to do so at a significantly higher profit margin. We get so caught up in just like gross revenue, but it really doesn't matter all that much. I'll take a lower gross revenue company that has a higher net profit at the end of the year any day. Less operational overhead, less complexity, easier to manage, like all of these things. There's no badge of honor that you get for doing a certain number in top line sales. You can't take those sales to the bank, but back end profits, you can. And that's going to come from LTV and nurturing the customer relationship.
Yeah. So such a great point and example there. We're going to take a quick break here, Tyler. And when we get back, I want to talk about how do we set that up? Like, what are things do we need in place? I'd imagine we need some reporting, we need some infrastructure. And we'll get into that right when we get back from break. Hey y'all, today's episode is brought to you by Amplify Media, and we are a podcast and content production. We like to think of ourselves as platform builders because chances are you have a product, a passion, a mission, a message, something that you want to get out to the world, but you may not have the time, the team, or the tech skills to get the message out. If that's the case, we can help. Go to amplifymedia.com. That's AMPLAFY media.com. You can also check the show notes for info. And with that, let's get back to the conversation with Tyler. So Tyler, the first half of these conversations, I try and set up as some context for people who are like, yeah, but why do I need this? Or why is it important? I think we've done a really good job establishing that because people have made it this far. They're like, yes, you're right. I'm blowing it or I'm churning. Most businesses are in that position that we talked about. So if they do want to get started they do want to start making this a priority in their business, where's the best place to start? What do they need to have set up? Help us get started.
So let me answer that by sharing a story that also just happens to be the origin story of my company that I run today. So I was at an event about 5 years ago, listening to an entrepreneur named Joel Marion give a talk titled, How to Scale Your Business 10 Times Bigger, 10 Times Faster. He gets up on stage and pretty quickly into his talk, he asked the room of about 400 entrepreneurs a series of questions. And I would ask you listening the same questions right now. He says, how many of you know your average customer lifetime value, just as a single number? raise your hand. And out of the 400 people in the room, there were maybe 50 hands. And he goes, okay, not bad. Now, how many of you know your customer lifetime value at day 0, 30, 60, 90, and 180? And there were maybe 20 hands. He goes, okay, not bad. Now, how many of you know your average customer lifetime value at day 0, 30, 60, 90, and 180 for every product, funnel, traffic source, and affiliate? And there were 4 hands. And this burned into my brain because the room literally went from 400 down to 4, 1% of the room. And he asked each of them, says, how big's your business? 15 million, 25 million, 35 million, 50 million. And he just goes, I'm not surprised. And he goes on to give the rest of his talk where the punchline was, if you can answer that question better than anybody else, you will win. And that's how he scaled his company from 0 to 150 million in 18 months. Think about that. And at the end of his talk, during the Q&A portion, someone came up and asked what I thought was the obvious question, which is, that sounds great, but like, how did you do that? And he goes, I hired a developer and a data scientist and paid him 200 grand a year to build it for me. I'm like, what? That's not the solution anybody wants to hear, right? That's not going to work for the vast majority of businesses in this room. And so I thought to myself, if I could build the thing that he could have said right there, he would have had every person in that room going to sign up. And that's what I've spent the last 5 years doing, is building exactly that. Now, I'm not here to tell you to go use what I've built, but the reality is that's what the biggest companies are doing. The companies that you're chasing, the companies that you're in direct competition with can outspend you to acquire customers because they know these numbers. And you may have heard the saying, the business that can spend the most to acquire a customer wins. How do you win? First, you got to start by knowing how much you can spend to acquire a customer. Then you got to build out the infrastructure of your business to maximize the value of the customers so that you can go spend more. So with all of that said, what has become very clear to me is that knowing these numbers and being data-driven in this way is hard. And it's a barrier that stops most businesses from ever doing it. And there's a reason that only 1% of the businesses in that room raise their hands. And I imagine that if you're listening right now, you're probably part of the 99%, because that's just the realities that most businesses are there. But you're saying to yourself, I'm not going to go hire developers, data scientists, manage them, pay salaries, wait 6 to 12 months to get all this stuff built out, because that's just unreasonable for the stage that I'm at. And I would totally agree with you. So here's what I would say. If you're trying to see where can I start to get this in motion, because having awareness about this, that's 90% of the battle. Most businesses don't even have a starting point for this. It's very simple. You can take the data that's already in your business right now, whatever CRM, shopping cart platform you use, you can export that data to a spreadsheet. Pretty easy to do. When you export that data to a spreadsheet, all you need to do, you can just look up how to do this on Google, is just take all the different email addresses that appear and just group your data by email address. I don't need to go into the technical details of how to do that. You can look it up very easily. Anybody can do this. Exactly. Very easy to do. So what this is going to show you is how much each individual customer in your business is worth. And all you need to do at that point is take all the customers that you have, up the column of how much all the customers are worth, divide it by the number of email addresses that you have. And that is your first starting point for average customer lifetime value. Okay. Now, there are levels of depth to that, right? You could say, let me only look at the customers who bought this particular product, right? Or who came from this particular traffic source. And you can go deeper, and you should if you can. But first, getting that baseline awareness of what is a customer actually worth to my business will be a game changer for you. Because what it does is it sets a baseline for decision making. All right. So now that you have that number, you are already ahead of 80, 90% of businesses out there. Because I promise you, I've talked to thousands of companies. Most businesses don't even know that number. Okay. Once you have that, you now have a starting point for determining how much you can go spend to acquire your customers, and a number that you can give to a media buying team or anyone on your team and say, hey, this is our number. Okay. And over time, you'll be able to refine that number and you'll be able to get better at coming to terms with what that number actually is. But that is the first step that needs to happen. Then there's a second step. Okay. These are the two things that I always recommend for getting started. So you have your average customer lifetime value. The next thing that will be extremely eye-opening for you as a business is being able to identify how much revenue do we make from our new customers buying for the first time and the customers coming back and buying again. I call this front-end revenue. That's the new customers buying on the front end. And then back-end revenue, existing customers coming back and buying again. And you can do something very similar to what I talked about with the average LTV. Get all this data into a file. And if you just sort the data by date, then you can look at the transact history of your business. And all we need to do is just look at all the sales that come from each email address and then just put them into two categories. One is first ever sale, and the other one is every every sale that happens after that. There's also very easy ways to do this. You're basically totaling up the first time an email address appears versus all the other times that an email address appears. And this allows you to get the split between new customer revenue and then returning customer revenue. When you see those numbers for the first time, it's like the sky has opened. Oh my gosh, we make 10 million on the front end, 500,000 on the back end, or whatever the numbers are for your business, 1 million on the front end, 100,000 on the back end. You see that disparity, it will slap you in the face of, oh man, I don't know if I'm treating this with the level of care that I need to really grow and scale on the back end.
And is that what you're looking, because I'd imagine that there's every industry and every business is going to be different. So it'd be hard to say what the split should actually look like. But the bigger the disparity, the more attention that probably could be given to it. Is that generally what you think?
There are, of course, edge case exceptions, but for the vast majority of businesses, whatever that new customer revenue number is, we want to see the back end number be somewhere above 25% of that front end number. Really, more like 50% is a good benchmark to shoot for. But in my experience, I rarely see companies that are successfully scaling up, especially if they're paying for advertising, if they're not adding at least 25% to their revenue on the back end. That is a really good minimum threshold, I would say, to shoot for. And many businesses, when you see these numbers for the first time, they do come in below that. And it's simply because they don't have the awareness to be able to see the disparity. And awareness is the most important first step. And that's the thing that I would say more than anything else coming out of this conversation is you can't make good decisions around data if you don't have awareness. We don't have to get all the way to being a data scientist and go all the way to the deepest depths of LTV for you to compare your front end, your back end, your new customers and your returning customers. That will give you more leverage than anything else because it will at least show you where the deficiency is and give you a good starting point for putting your attention in the place in the business that's going to give you the most leverage to be able to spend more to acquire customers so you can go get more customers.
Tyler, this has been an amazingly insightful conversation. It's opened my eyes and I have to give myself a little bit of grace because I think I'm in the 99%, but I think that you'll bring some of us into that 1% here with this. If people want to get deeper in your world to figure out about what it is that you do or how you do it for your clients, where's the best place to go?
So if you go to ltvnumbers.com, you can see the entire software solution that I've built over the last 5 years, built to answer the exact questions that we've talked about today. And this is meant to be more of an out of the box, get all the way to the point of what these 150 million companies are doing, but in just a matter of days and for a small fraction of the price. Because my mission is to make good data accessible to businesses at any level. And that's what this company has been built to do. So you can go there to learn more about LTV Numbers. And then if you want to follow me on Instagram, Tyler_LTV Numbers. I'm always posting educational content about LTV, customer journeys, and building and scaling with a data-driven approach. So those are two places you can go to learn more about me. And just to wrap up here, like I said, LTV is a way of doing business. It's the direct representation of the quality of our relationship with a customer. We all know that being data-driven is important as business owners, but taking those first few steps to getting the awareness that you need to make good decisions can go a disproportionately long way. And being data-driven doesn't have to be this high bar that only can be overcome by hiring developers, hiring data scientists, and doing some of these things that causes barriers for businesses to break into this in the first place. Just start with some of the high leverage stuff, and nothing is higher leverage than knowing your customer lifetime value and using that to inform your decisions.
Great stuff. Listeners, if you made it thus far, we appreciate you being here. We would love and appreciate, be forever grateful, a rating or review wherever you get podcasts. And if you know someone who's scaling their business in the midst of that process, hit that share button, send them a text, let them know that you were thinking about them, that this episode might help. And go get connected with Tyler. I just followed him on Instagram. Check out the website. We'll link that in the show notes. And we appreciate you being part of the tribe. We'll see you on the next one. Later.
Thanks so much.